We're talking now with two folks from the Rock Creek Alliance. We have with us Mary Costello. She's the executive director. Mary, thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
And Pat Holland. Pat, you're a board member.
I am. It's great to be here with you. Yeah,
thank you. And you have a big event coming up. It's the Rock Creek Alliance annual party. It happens on Wednesday, July 29th, is a week from today, as this airs, from 5 to 8:30 p.m. at Matchwood Brewing. It's, I'd say, the biggest shindig of the year for the Rock Creek Alliance. It's also an important fundraiser and also important for raising awareness about the Rock Creek Alliance and its work to stop or at least modify the Rock Creek mine, which basically threatens the water quality of Lake Ponderay, as well as wildlife habitat in the Cabinet Mountain Wilderness. So I'll tell you what, that's my little summation. But Mary, why don't you tell us first a bit about the Rock Creek Alliance? It's been around a long time now, actually. It's been successful, but it's like a never-ending quest in a sense. And also then tell us about yourself and your role. And then Pat, I'd like you to do the same.
Okay. So, yeah, as you mentioned, the Rock Creek Alliance has been around a long time. We formed up in 1996, so we're basically 30 years old.
30 years.
Yeah. I mean, we got our nonprofit status a couple years later. It took a little while to get incorporated and so forth. But, yeah, we've been at this since 1996. We formed up right after the draft environmental impact statement for the Rock Creek Mine was released in 1995. And so that was the impetus to form the Rock Creek Alliance. There were some other organizations involved, but we felt like we needed an organization in Sandpoint that would be focused on protecting the lake. And I've been involved since pretty much day one. Mm-hmm. So it's been a long time.
Practically a lifetime.
It's been a lifetime. Yeah. My education, I have a master's degree in avian ecology, so I did not envision myself working on fighting a mine for my whole career. But I love the wilderness, and I saw mining claims in the wilderness, and that got me interested in it. And then when I saw how bad the proposal was and how shoddy the science was, I got sucked into it, and I've been here ever since. And I want to say there have been so many folks involved over the years. This has been a community effort. We've been successful in stopping the mine because we've had the support of the public and a lot of really great people who have volunteered their time and energy over the years.
Mm-hmm. Pat, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself, but also describe what the mine is, where it is.
Yeah, I was fortunate to be born here in just outside of Sandpoint, grew up here, playing on the waters of Lake Ponderay. And my parents took me to a rally, if you will. I believe it was at the middle school gym when I was pretty young. And that was one of my first interactions with conservationism, protecting the environment. And it was for the Rock Creek, opposing the Rock Creek mine. And a few years ago, I was invited to become a board member. And so I said yes. I have a boat rental operation here on Ponderay. And so I personally am directly tied to the water quality of Lake Ponderay for my income. There's no way around it.
It's your livelihood.
That's mm-hmm. my livelihood. And there is a lot of people that are. And the different individuals that we hire and employees, you know, all around this town. And so to me, it's a major, major concern, the Rock Creek Mine. Would be a massive mine put in just across on the in the Montana border, up
near Knoxon.
And it would be underneath the wilderness area where Rock Lake is, and then Rock Creek is flowing down into the Clark Fork River, and then that continues on directly into Ponderay. If they were able to put it in, and Mary knows all the very specifics on the size and scope of the mine, but they would have a massive tailing pond located right along the shores of the Clark Fork River. And all of that wastewater would be flowing into our lake, which could potentially have devastating consequences from property values. I mean, think about the property values now are rather high. We got discovered, and it's a beautiful place. But if your kids can't go swim in the water off the dock, You're going to want to spend your summer up here. Mm-hmm. You know, all the restaurants, people boating around, you know, from gas, all of it. Fishing in the spring and the fall, how well the fishery is returned after the state did a bunch of restoration, or when they killed off a bunch of the lake trout, not to go down that rabbit hole, but the kokanee are back and the cams are back. It's a huge industry, just the fishing alone. Mm-hmm. And so we're primarily a recreational-based economy here in North Idaho, centered around Lake Ponderay. Definitely some, you know, in the winter at Schweitzer is doing a good job bringing people in. But I'm pretty tied into the snow world, and unfortunately things seem to be getting a little bit warmer and raining more mm-hmm. than snowing, so mm-hmm. we'll see how that continues. Mm-hmm. But back to the mining operations and stuff, that's why I got involved with it. And Mary can tell you a little bit more exactly where we're at right now fighting against it, because Hecla is attempting to put a mine, the Montanoe mine, permitting that through, and those wastewaters would flow up to the Kootenai River up by Libby, and then head on out. So I'll pass it over to Mary and let her kind of explain a little bit more with where we're currently at right now fighting Hecla, mm-hmm. the mining company.
Mm-hmm. I'll throw out that the kinds of waste and pollution that a mine produces can be pretty serious, have serious impacts. We don't have to look any further than south to Silver Valley, where pollution that's entered the Coeur d'Alene River and goes into the Coeur d'Alene Lake is of course, it's more than a century of that pollution, but kids aren't supposed to play on the lakeshore there because of potential lead pollution. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of a worst case scenario of what could happen with Lake Ponderay if things got out of control. Of course, I think the mining companies would say technology's a lot better now. But go ahead and pick it up from there, Mary. Why don't you describe what a tailings pile even is for those who aren't
right.
sure.
Right. I'm glad you brought that up, because I think it's, even though I've been fighting this for 30 years, there's people who have just moved to this community who are not even aware that there's a proposed mine in Montana, let alone what a tailings impoundment is. So basically, as Pat alluded to, there's concerns about pollution coming down into Lake Ponderay, and there are multiple sources, and one is this large tailings impoundment, and what that is that's the crushed rock that they pile, that they're basically going to turn it into a paste, dewater it slightly, turn it into a paste, and then there's going to be 300 million tons of it at the end of mine life, and it contains heavy metals, and those are going to leach into the groundwater, which is hydrologically connected to the Clark Fork River. So there's going to be metals and nutrient pollution entering into the Clark Fork River. We have the tailings impoundment as a source. Then we have a treated discharge that will be in perpetuity.
Let me say that again. It's a lot of water, right?
Yeah. One estimate is 3 million gallons a day of water. Yes, they're going to treat it, but they're not going to remove everything. And so when you look at a perpetual, forever, for all intent and purposes, discharge coming into the river, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out eventually Lake Ponderay is going to be polluted, and we're going to have metals coming into the lake. And nobody knows for sure what the turnover time is, whether those metals end up in the sediment like they are in Lake Coeur d'Alene, whether some of them wash on out. But there are definitely sources that they've documented that will come into the lake. And then there's the risk of acid mine drainage. And I think most people are familiar with that term, and they know that, you know, once acid mine drainage starts, there's no turning it off. It's not like you can turn a spigot off. Once they dig a hole in the ground, and that's basically what they would do, is they would, it's an underground mine, they would come in and they would excavate underground, and that's where all these metals will be liberated when they start drilling into those rocks. Right now they're in the rocks. And so, you know, miners say, well, those are naturally occurring metals. Well, yeah, when they're bound up in rocks, but when you crush them and add water and then allow those to flow into our watershed, those are not naturally occurring. Mm-hmm. So those are the big risks to Lake Ponderay. And that doesn't even touch on the impacts to wilderness waters. They're talking about basically when they bring in the water from the surface, they're going to be dewatering streams and lakes within the wilderness. And some of them could potentially drain.
This mine is proposed right at the edge of the designated wilderness area, but it's going to tunnel underneath
the wilderness. Yes. Right. The ore body for both the Rock Creek mine and the Montanore mine, which Pat mentioned, they're basically adjacent. They're separated by a fault, but they're both beneath the Cabinet Mountains wilderness. And permitting those mines, either one of those, and allowing those to proceed sets a dangerous precedent for wilderness. Wilderness is supposed to be protected. Unfortunately, when they did the negotiations to pass the Wilderness Act, they allowed the mining companies a 20-year window to come in and stake mining claims. And that's why we are in this predicament today. So that is why we've been concerned all these years. And we've been through four mining companies and a lot of litigation. And with community support, we've been able to beat it back. And as of today, they have withdrawn their application to mine there. They have no plan of operations, no permits, but they have not gone away. They've basically redirected their attention to the mine on the Libby side.
And which is the Montanore.
The Montanore mine. And at this point, they're just going for a permit for the first phase, which they're calling the Libby Exploration Project. So they would build this large tunnel, which is already partially excavated. I don't know how much history you want me to get into. But they have not gone away. They intend to build the Montanore mine. And then sooner or later, they're going to come back for Rock Creek. And sort of the other thing, you know, we can get complacent and say, well, it might be 20 years. But the reality is right now, the political environment is as pro-mining as it's ever been. The current administration is doing away with environmental regulations. They have basically gutted the National Environmental Policy Act, which allows the public to weigh in on these proposals and comment. In the case of the Libby Exploration Act, they did what's called the Fast 41 permitting process. Montana's delegation brought this mine to the attention of the Trump administration, and it got on the list of one of those mines to be fast-tracked. So there was basically 30 days to comment, and they didn't even do a full-blown environmental impact statement.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of details to dig in on. I'd like to circle back on some of those details, but let's fast forward to the event that's coming up next Wednesday, July 29th. It's the Rock Creek Alliance's annual party. So what is that? It's also a fundraiser for the Rock Creek Alliance, which is an important part of it. But tell us more about the annual party coming up.
Yeah, so we've been throwing a party over at Matchwood for the last few years. They've been great. Give us some area outside. Starts off at 5 p.m. Like you said, Wednesday, July 29th. We'll have Headwaters playing music on their stage. And then we've got a bunch of different gifts and donations from various businesses around the area. And those will all be on silent auction. So we'll have tables set up. People will come write down their names. And there's a bunch of jewelry. There's stuff from Lighthouse Salad Dressing, Schweitzer Mountain Resort, Evans Brothers. We've got some stuff from massages, got books. Patagonia did something for us. You know, there's a lot of stuff. Can't go all through every piece and item and for each business, but we're very grateful for all the support from the community in that. And what we're doing is raising money. And the other thing is we're also raising awareness, getting people out there. Mary will be there. Like she said, she's been with the Rock Creek Alliance from day one and has a wealth of knowledge. And if so, people want to come and ask some questions, get better informed, she'll be there. We encourage everybody to become members. helps a lot with getting the information out there, and then a little bit of funding draw there as well. So really good times. We got some appetizers. There'll be free appetizers from Matchwood, and obviously you can get dinner there at Matchwood. Support them and grab a beer, listen to some music, and hopefully bid on some. good prizes and raise some money.
And I'll mention some pretty darn good music.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Headwaters is a great local group. And
they have a big following.
They have a big following as well. So worth coming for that for sure. The silent auction, a ton of great things. Often it's a bargain, which is, in a way, it's kind of too bad because it's a fundraiser for the Rock Creek Alliance. But on the other hand, you know, if you're hunting for a bargain, you might find one there, all the great stuff that you have. Again, that is the Rock Creek Alliance annual party. It's going to be at Matchwood Brewing on Wednesday, July 29th, starting at 5 o'clock and running till 8:30 p.m. So put that on your calendar, folks. So let's circle back now. You mentioned the political environment for miners is, you know, prime right now to get these kinds of projects approved. I got to suspect that also this is a silver mine.
Copper, silver.
It's copper and silver. Those are two metals that are in much more demand right now than they have been in years, I think. How is that influencing the decision to go ahead with the mine? The Montanore mine at this point, yeah.
You mean in terms of from the mining company's perspective?
Yeah, or does that increase, you know, more heat to get the mine built?
I think they would be pushing no matter what, you know, because they've got stockholders that they have to keep happy. They have to show that they're doing something. But, yeah, obviously between the political environment and some of the lax, the gutting of some of the laws like ESA and the price of metals, that's definitely an impetus for them to continue to move forward.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that on the Libby side of the Cabinet Mountains, that there's already some work that's been done. There's a tunnel that's been built. Was that done like years ago, or is that more recently?
Yeah, there was the ore body was previously owned by another company called Noranda, and in the 90s, they started excavating this evaluation at it. It's just generally, it's a huge tunnel that starts from the surface, goes into the side of a mountain to either move air, water, or minerals, rock.
Mm-hmm.
And so they started excavating this at it in the 90s, and they excavated about, I think, 7,000 feet, and then they stopped. There were two reasons that they stopped. One is they started polluting Libby Creek, and they didn't have a permit. And so Montana DEQ said, you've got to get a permit for this. Then metals prices fell. So they eventually just walked away from the project, and it sat with nothing happening for many, many years. And then in 2009, the project was acquired by another company, and currently Hecla is the current owner. We went through, you know, on Rock Creek we had Asarco, and then later on both these mines we had Sterling Mining and Rivette Mining, and now we're dealing with Hecla, that's a larger Idaho-based company.
Mm-hmm. So they have a large mine in the Silver Valley.
They do. They have the Lucky Friday mine. Mm-hmm. They have the Grouse Creek mine, which is closed, and then they have the Greens Creek in Alaska. And
how have they done in the past?
They all have environmental problems.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them. The Greens Creek mine in Alaska, the indigenous people have warnings not to eat their shellfish because they're so contaminated with mercury and heavy metals. Mm-hmm. The Lucky Friday mine has had all kinds of violations of their permit. I think they exceeded water quality standards like 200 times. They've also had issues with their employees, feeling that they were working under unsafe conditions, so they've had strikes. You probably remember hearing about the strikes at the Lucky Friday mine.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the Grouse Creek mine, which is now closed, they had some major pollution problems there as well. So they do not have a good track record.
Mm-hmm. So what have they done on the ground most recently with their claim over there?
In Libby.
It's actually more like above Troy, right?
It's closer to Libby. Yeah, Libby
okay.
Creek. Yeah, yeah, along Libby. They right now, they're just working on getting a permit. And so we had, I don't know how far back, I'm not going to go back too far because I get too carried away in details, but the project resurfaced after being defeated in court for the full mine. We defeated them in court. Our sister organization, Save Our Cabinets, which was formed up to deal with the Montanore mine, we beat them back in court in the same way that we had the permits withdrawn for Rock Creek. So they came back just looking to do the first phase. And they submitted, the latest plan of operations was submitted in 2022. And then there was an EA, an environmental assessment, which was a very shoddy document. It was done under this FAST 41 process that I talked about. And the public had like 30 days to comment. And we basically said, you need to do a full EIS. We had talked about that during scoping. They didn't. They did the EA. And so our coalition, not Rock Creek Alliance, but Save Our Cabinets, and our partners in Montana sued the Forest Service and the Fish and Wildlife Service in March of this year. So that's where we are right now on the Libby Exploration Project.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I got to pose this question because I'm sure at least some listeners may have this thought in their own mind. We need these metals, right? As a society, we use copper, we use silver. What is your response to those that say, hey, we have to have mines?
Well, first of all, I think a lot of it, to use an analogy of real estate, it's about place. And beneath a federally protected wilderness, one of the first 10 designated in this country, is not an appropriate place to mine. And then in terms of some metals like copper and silver, we can do a lot better on recycling. You know, we're not talking about some of the critical minerals. This is copper and silver, mm-hmm. You know. And clean water and wilderness and wildlife is more important than some copper and silver. Mm-hmm.
Well, tell us a little bit more about how the mines would impact the wilderness area.
So they would be basically, in both cases, the operations would be very similar, and the impacts would be similar, and they would also affect some of the same resources because of their proximity. So it would be an industrial facility operating 24/7 with industrial lights, noise pollution. They would be excavating underground, they would be using, you know, explosives underground. There would be all kinds of traffic, mining vehicles. So there would be sort of that whole aesthetic kind of impact that you don't go to a wilderness area expecting to be adjacent to an industrial mining site. So that's for those that want to recreate there, that's a big problem. The other thing which I mentioned is the dewatering. That's one of the more serious problems with these mines, is that they're going to be drawing down this water that's feeding these wilderness lakes and streams. For example, the East Fork of Bull River, which happens to be important habitat for bull trout, by the end of mine life would be dewatered, and it would take decades for that water, if ever, to recover. So these streams would be completely dewatered, a lot of them.
How about grizzly bears? They're there.
Absolutely,
endangered species.
Of course, I mentioned the bull trout, and also, grizzly bears. We're talking about a very small population. Mm-hmm. The cabinet portion of the cabinet yak population, there's probably 30-some bears. They are currently not meeting recovery standards. And, you know, basically for them to look at recovery as successful, there needs to be 100 bears. We're nowhere near that. We don't have enough breeding females. We have increasing human-caused mortality, even without a mine. Bears are still being shot and killed every year. So, you know, grizzly bears don't do well in roaded areas, and they don't do well with industrial activity like that. So they're going to either be driven out of the valley entirely, or they're going to be poached or hit by cars. It really would be the death knell for grizzly bears in the cabinets.
Then I think it also would be a major impact on the rest of the ecosystem, not just grizzly bears, but all your hunters going up there, from deer to elk. Okay.
There are other sensitive species like lynx and
wolverine.
And wolverines and that use the wilderness area now, but they don't like development very much.
Right. And then there's We mentioned the bull trout. There's also West Slope cutthroat trout. In the case of Rock Creek, it's a genetically pure strain. And the fisheries biologists will tell you that we need to keep all those different populations with that unique genetic diversity. We can't just continue to wipe out populations and say, oh, it's okay, we have these fish over here. We need to maintain that diversity. Up in Libby Creek, I believe there are red band trout. So, the fisheries would be impacted from sediment, metals, dewatering, warm temperatures. In the case of the Libby Exploration Adit and the Montanore Mine, they would be dumping a lot of really warm water into Libby Creek, which is critical habitat for bull trout. Mm-hmm. They actually have a mixing zone in Libby Creek. And in some dry years, the only water some of those fish might encounter is polluted water.
The effluent.
Discharge, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't last too long in that discharge.
Mm-hmm. Especially trout, they don't do well with metals.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking now with Mary Costello and Pat Holland with the Rock Creek Alliance, which has their annual meeting coming up on Wednesday, July 29th, 5 to 8:30 p.m. at Matchwood Brewing. Pat, I want to circle back on the idea that our lake, which would be threatened if the Rock Creek mine ever were built in terms of the water quality, is a big economic generator for the community. And I'm just curious, this was not part of the Lakes Commission study, but the Lakes Commission did commission a study recently on the economic impacts of simply leaving the lake level higher for a couple months out of the year.
The volume of the water, yeah.
Yeah.
The full pool or lower, yes.
Yeah.
I'm aware of all
that. And I think that reinforces your point that it's a big economic generator. I mean, I cannot remember the numbers that the Lakes Commission identified in terms of what the economic benefit would be just by...
Just a few weeks.
Raising the water earlier and leaving it up a little bit later, but it's millions of dollars.
But it was substantial.
Yeah.
And to your point, that's just a small time difference in the level of the lake so that people can access their docks. It doesn't, in what this Rock Creek mine would potentially do is devastate the water quality, which would then impact all times of the year, including all the fishery, all the guys out there trolling, the K&K Derby, and how long that's been going on, and how much money's brought in from that, plus the recreational time in the summer when the waters are at full pool. I mean, we look around how many real estate offices we have now and the prices and how many million-dollar homes are on Lake Ponderay. That wasn't the case in the 90s. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't paying attention much during then because I was just a kid. But there was a few nice homes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always been nice homes up here, but now there's a lot. Mm-hmm. And people, why are people coming here? Because we have a massive, beautiful lake. We're seasonal... seasonal community. We have a great ski resort at Schweitzer, you know, and then all your outdoor recreation in the mountains for hunting and fishing, and then just camping, hiking up and going backpacking into mountain lakes. It's a huge draw for people. It's an amazing place we live in. I'm very fortunate my parents found it and have told them thank you many times. But so the way I look at it is, what is the biggest single threat potentially to this area? And time again, I've come back to the Rock Creek mine. If it actually went in, that single mine could have the largest negative impact on this entire ecosystem our entire community and in the watershed, and from the environmental side to the economic side. It's massive. And, you know, Mary brought up earlier that they've been going for 30 years, and I've just been recently brought on. But I think that's a huge level of success that they're on their fourth mining company. Successfully stopped three separate mining companies so far, and I'd say successfully stopping Hecla so far with the Rock Creek mine, because they pulled their their permits. But now Hecla is trying to put in the Libby exploration mine, which is just a small portion of the larger Montanoe mine that they want to do. So they're trying to get their foot in the door toe by toe. And once they get their toe in the door, then they start walking through. What's to stop them from, once they get the Montanoe mine in and running, what's to stop a mining company from saying, hey, we want to do it on the other side? We did it over here. Why not? Let's just keep going. And I don't think they would stop. I haven't seen a mining stop company stop. And so whether it's in 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, whatever that number might be, the Rock Creek mine potentially could be still put in, and we need to stop the Libby exploration project, which would right now, because that leads to the Montanoe mine, which then leads to the Rock Creek mine, which then potentially could devastate our the lake we live on.
Mm-hmm. Or potentially they could come back. Things have changed, as I mentioned, politically. There's nothing really. They may come back and say, we want to start the permitting process up again for Rock Creek, if those laws are diluted enough. And they've already, you know, I'm sure as most of your listeners are aware, they've already taken a provision from the Endangered Species Act that protects habitat. Mm-hmm. They're saying, we're doing away with the harm provision, meaning we don't have to, we won't outright kill them, but we don't have to protect any of their habitat.
Which kind of makes it tough for them to live if they don't have a place to live, these wild animals. Yeah. Well, there's a ton of details that you've accumulated in 30 years. I did want to ask just a couple more questions here. And one is, so the Rock Creek Alliance hasn't been in this fight alone. It's had some partners.
Right. So we have Earth Justice has been representing us over the years, both the Bozeman and at one time the Seattle office. We also have a federal attorney out of Colorado who knows federal mining law better than anyone else, and he's nonprofit. And then we have a whole host of partners that we work with. We have some tribal interests. The Kasanka elders of the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribe are very supportive. The Clark Fork Coalition, Montana Environmental Information Center, Trout Unlimited, Earthworks, Yaak Valley Forest Council, Cabinet Resource Group, and we've worked with organizations in Idaho as well, like the Panhandle Chapter of Trout Unlimited. In the past, we've worked with Lake Ponderea Idaho Club. We've recently been working more with Montana groups who are more focused on the Libby Exploration Project, and of course, the mines are proposed there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if there's one thing that a point I really want to make is that one of the biggest obstacles one obstacle we're against is fatigue in the community, because this has been going on for so long. And so I just have to urge people to stick with us on this, because this is not going away. And I also look at all of the wealth in the community. And I have to be honest and say that most of our support comes from just middle-class working people who have been members for years and years and years. And I'd like to see more people step up to the plate that are invested in the community, because it's in their self-interest, best self-interest, to get involved. So come out, learn more about it, join the Rock Creek Alliance. We need your help.
Okay, so the Rock Creek Alliance annual party, again, is at Matchwood Brewing on Wednesday, July 29th from 5 to 8:30 p.m. There's going to be great music by Headwaters, great local band. There's going to be a silent auction. And bring a friend or bring a whole bunch of friends.
Bring as many as you can. We've got plenty of space outdoors.
Yeah. Any last words you'd like to make on either anything to do with Rock Creek Alliance or the coming party?
I just want to thank the community for all their dedicated support over the years, because, you know, Mary just listed off all the different partners and that Rock Creek Alliance works with and Save Our Cabinets works with. And apparently it takes a village to stop a mine.
But we have all these wonderful businesses that have been supporting us for years and years and years, and lots of community members that I'm so grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I run our database, and you know, there's some people I've never met, but I know their names because they've been members for 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's dedication. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're winning.
It's people wanting to preserve the quality of life that we've had here. So, and you can learn more about the Rock Creek Alliance at rockcreekalliance.org. There's a bit there about the annual party, but there's also a whole bunch of information on the mine and all the impacts and issues that are involved. And I assume, kind of dangerous to assume anything, you know, but I'm going to presume that you're going to give a bit of a talk at the party.
I give a short talk. It's an interesting venue because mm-hmm. we have music and there's a lot of people and people are there to party. I'll give the nuts and bolts, but then we have all kinds of information. We'll have a nice display board, and I'll be available to answer questions, as will the board. So mm-hmm. come out and meet. We have a fantastic board.
Mm-hmm.
Come out and meet our board.
Great. Well, Mary Costello and Pat Holland with the Rock Creek Alliance, thanks for coming in to speak with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.